Blog Talk Radio.
We are delighted for you to join us today to hear a word from the Lord. Amen. Please take note of our ministry time, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio and Mary Washington Ministries. Amen. And our Blog Talk Radio is www.blogtalkradio.com/studentsforall.
Amen.
Amen. Before we go further, I'm going to give the floor to Sister Annalyn so she can lead us in a word of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, I ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, let it be all of you and none of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, if the people here, live, virtual, or in the iCross, the word that you've given us today, Lord, the word that removes burdens and destroys you, Lord, may that word move in such people's soul, Lord, and may they come to you and get to know you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
And this section, we're talking about how to become like Jesus.
Amen.
And before that, we did think, and then we did act. So now we're going to be B. And for those of you who are joining us starting here today, last chapter was love.
Uh-huh.
And this chapter is chapter 22, which is joy. And the key question is, what gives us true happiness and contentment in life? And the key idea is, despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life.
Amen.
And the key verse is, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And that is John 15:11. So a person can have money, all the possessions they desire, health, and even good looks. But if they don't have joy, life can be rather challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It is easy to find joy when things are going well. Yet some people struggle to experience this virtue, even amidst life's most valuable situations.
Mm-hmm.
But here's some amazing news. Christ offers us joy, no matter our circumstances. True joy is rooted in the key belief that the one true God is a personal God who is involved in and cares about our daily life.
Amen.
And we learn that in the think section.
Uh-huh.
So first you have to think that the one true God cares about you and is involved in your daily. Then you can become and actually see that manifest in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves us and is working out a good plan for us.
Right.
When we constantly believe this in our hearts, we can rise above circumstances and find joy in Christ alone.
Thank you, Lord.
So now we're going to be touching three topics. It's source of joy, joyful celebration, joy despite our circumstances.
Amen.
And the first topic is source of joy. So God may shower us with blessings and circumstances that bring joy to our life. But true joy is not found in those things themselves, but in their source, the source, which is God. Joy can also be fueled and found in living out God's word and trusting in the promises God makes to us in his word. So don't depend on the material things to bring you joy, because all that stuff is temporal. Jesus is forever.
Amen.
Don't focus on the money. Focus on the source that's providing the money.
Amen, amen, amen.
So now I'm going to be reading Psalm chapter 16. And it says here, you keep me safe, my God. For you, I seek refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Yes.
Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I will not pour out the basins of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you are alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure.
Mm-hmm.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have the delightful inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me.
Thank you, Lord.
I will keep my eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Thank you.
I think of that phrase, keep your eyes on the prize.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus
Amen.
On Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Our joy comes from the hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That he's going to come back, that he's soon to return, and that
Amen.
We can dwell with him and be caught up with him
mm-hmm.
and dwell with him forever. And that is itself is something to look forward to
Amen.
And be joyous about.
Amen.
Further on here, it says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead,
mm-hmm.
nor will you not let your faithful ones see the taste.
Mm-hmm.
You made known to me the path of life.
Uh-huh.
You will enjoy your presence
uh-huh.
with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So God promises to find the ultimate fulfillment in his son, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And we see here that I'm going to be reading out of the same chapter.
Uh-huh.
But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. So here we see when Jesus came
uh-huh.
to the earth as
Amen.
A baby. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town, a son of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So back then, the people were joyous when Jesus came to earth.
Amen.
And now we're going to be joyous when he comes back.
Amen.
Right.
And
Amen.
Jesus taught us that spiritual growth is much like the development of fruit on a vine. He is the vine, and we become the branches when
Amen.
We place our faith in him.
Uh-huh.
As we abide in the vine
mm-hmm.
of Christ through obedience to his commands, his nutrients of joy run through our spiritual veins from the inside out and produce the ripe, juicy fruit of joy in and through our life. So I just remember what Pastor Washington used to say,
mm-hmm.
that you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears.
Huh.
And here I'm going to go further in depth in John chapter 16 and to see how that is put into place. It says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts
yeah.
off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful.
Thank
you. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you.
Yeah.
No branch can bear fruit itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So make
mm-hmm.
sure you produce good fruit. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into fire, and burned. So examine yourself. Are you producing good fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But that doesn't mean to use God as a slot machine.
Uh-huh.
Ask whatever you wish, and if it is in his will, it will be done
uh-huh.
for you.
Amen.
And to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's command and remain in his love.
Yeah.
I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So if you don't have love, you can't have the full joy. You can't experience
uh-huh.
the full
amen.
Joy.
Amen.
And the commentator here poses a question for us. How does keeping God's command produce joy in our lives? And I just thought about when you are bonded because of sin,
mm-hmm.
you don't really you can't be joyful.
Uh-huh.
So by following his commands, you can experience full joy and
amen.
Experience
amen.
That joy
amen.
In freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Joyful celebration. We see that in the Old Testament, people often responded to God's blessing in joyful celebration, coming together intentionally to remember God, stimulating joy in the hearts of people. And I just think about what we did today, what we did before coming on air. We got together as the body of Christ, and we spoke about God's goodness in our life, and just giving the testimony in fellowship. And my fellow believers, the people that are here in the church, their testimony gave me encouragement.
Amen.
And I hope that my testimony gave other people the encouragement. And I see how good God is in my life and in other people's lives. And we see here that the annual Festival of Tabernacle especially provided an opportunity for the Israelites to celebrate God's goodness, since the focus was reminding them that God provided food and shelter during their days in the wilderness. So here we see, I'm going to go in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And the people, they were holding captivity by the people of the Babylonians. But now God returned them back to their land, and they were to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. And that was to remind them of when God delivered them from Egypt and how he provided for them in the wilderness when they were going to the Promised Land. And I really remember in one of the lessons, Elder Lewis was saying how he had these boots in the military and how they got worn out, and how the people, the Israelites, they were walking for 40 years and they still had their clothes and shoes intact, and thinking how God really provided for them and how we should really remember how the Lord delivered us and how he keeps us in these times, these dark times. We see that we're in the last, but he still keeps us.
Amen.
And again, like I mentioned, when the people returned from the captivity from the Babylonians, it had been years since they gathered for this joy-filled celebration. And with great passion, they reinstated this tradition, and the results spoke for themselves. So as I stated before, I'm going to be reading the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 13 to 17, and we see that it says, on the second day of the month, the head of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gather around Ezra,
the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. So here what really got my attention was that everybody, all the leaders that were in charge, they got together and they gave attention to the word of God.
Yes.
And here we see that the Lord restored them because they realized what great sin they were, and they repented. And when they repented, they went to the word. They wanted to get right with God. And when we repent, that's what it means, to change. And Sis Lewis said that when you change, change isn't changed until you change. And they try to find change by knowing that they were following God's way, will, and they went into the word to see what the word said.
Yes.
So it says here, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. So here we see that they celebrate, but it's an order. So it, they celebrate according to God's will and way. It's not a disorder. So that's what we should do. The body of Christ, and we're the individual body that, and when we come together as well, we need to look into the word, and we need to ask the Lord, are we aligned to with your word?
Amen.
We want to know that we're not unknowingly breaking the law. We need to know the law.
Amen.
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 And we see going further down that they followed how it was. They followed how to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. And then it says, from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And their joy was very great. So here we see that from the beginning, when they got delivered from Egypt, Joshua was a rightful leader. He was a righteous leader. And we saw that whenever when he passed away and he left his leadership to others, that they were corrupt. But now they, when they had these leaders, the leaders got together, the head of how the family, the priests, the Levites, they got together and they realigned themselves with the word, that the people got together and they were in order. And then they experienced a joy that was very great. And then we see another celebration recorded in the Old Testament when David retrieved the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines. David understood the power of God's presence in the center of Israelite life and community. So he understood the power of having God, a God-centered life. So when we have a God-centered life, like Sister Carolyn has said, we experience that true joy. So before, when I was in the world, I really didn't know what joy was until I came to know the Lord. And I really experienced what true love was. And when you experience what true love is, what true joy is, and experience true peace, you get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we see here that after he built a tent in which to store the ark, he wrote a song to celebrate God for who he is and what he's constantly done for Israel. And celebrating God's involvement in our lives invokes joy. So whenever we remember and see God's goodness in our life, that just brings us joy. And whenever we have that song, the last lesson that the teacher and the prophet did, Moses' song, that just gives me, just hearing that gave me great joy because it helps me to remember how good God has been in my life.
Amen.
And sometimes I'm by myself, I'm in my car, and recently I've been listening to this song that I've heard Sister Lewis say, and it's called I Won't Complain, and I have the lyrics to it, and just that song is just thanking God because the I have the lyrics written down, but just the lyrics really motivated me, so... I know for the lyrics. Oh,
yeah.
But it says, I won't complain. And it says, I have some weary days.
Yeah.
And some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all my good days outweigh my bad days. And I won't complain. I won't complain because even though in the moment, to me, it might look like a disastrous situation. But in that, when I'm looking at it through the eyes of God, it's amazing because I know he's keeping me in the midst of everything because I am obedient to his word. I'm a child of God. His word, I look through his word, and his word gives me encouragement.
Thank you, Lord.
And we'll be looking at David's song, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 36. And it says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. So again, here, we're given this commandment. It says, give praise to the Lord. And when I thought about this, it's what a privilege and honor has he given us to give him praise. Because to me, that lifts up my spirit. To me, like I said, the lyrics of that song motivates me. And it gives me great joy to think of the goodness that he's done. And it says, sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. So again, what we did here and testimony, telling the wonderful acts of what he's doing in our lives, and then hearing the wonderful acts of the members, it really gives me encouragement.
Amen.
And going further along, it says, remember the wonder he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he's pronounced. Again, we might think we might be having a bad day, but then when we remember, and we look where he's delivered us from, and we look at what he's done in our life, we can't help but feel that joy, that supernatural
Amen.
Joy.
Amen.
And going down, it says, he remembers his covenant forever. So again, he remembers the promise he's done for us, with the promise he's given us as a child of God. And we find encouragement in that promise that this is only temporary.
Yes.
But when Jesus Christ comes, we have eternal life and we have those heavenly treasures that he's promised us.
Yes.
And then going further along, it says, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. Again, it keeps on reiterating. Declare his glory. Tell everybody about his good deeds, because it will give you encouragement and encourage others. And in the four scriptures, it says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among all gods.
Yes.
For all the gods of the nations are idols.
Yes.
Are idols. And here I see that the Lord that we serve, the great God, the mighty, most high,
isn't
a God that's made of human hands.
Right,
he's not deaf. He's not mute. He's a real deliverer. He's the only deliverer, the only savior, and the only healer. And it says here, but for all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And just thinking how amazing he is, he's made the heavens. So when I think of that, when I think how great God is, my situation, what I might be going through, he's so small to him, and I know that he can deliver me. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He has the ability to restore me and deliver me from that situation. And the splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. But so when you're in the presence of the Lord, you get his strength and his joy. And then going further along, it says, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound. Let the fields be jubilant. Let the trees of the forest sing. So we see all this, all his creation is praising God. God. This is the seas. I can't even carry a gallon of water in my hand. That's how mighty the Lord is. And going to the last verse, passage of words, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. We know that from the beginning, when we disobeyed him, he could have destroyed us, but no, he had a plan for us.
Amen.
And we see when he sent his son, he still had a plan for us. And we see what's going on in the world right now. He still has a plan for us. We still have a savior. It says, cry out, save us, God, our savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nation, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory to your praise. Praise be to God, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Again, he is the almighty God. He has no beginning or end. He was the one that was, is, and will be forever.
Amen.
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 Amen. And after the reign of David, the divided kingdom fell steadily into a dark season of disobedience. The people were led almost without interruption by a succession of evil kings. And Habakkuk was a prophet trying desperately to get the people of Judah back on track. He asked God how long he was going to let the injustice and wickedness go on before he discipled the nation. God informed the prophet that he was going to use the Babylonians to deal with Judah's resistance, disobedience. And Habakkuk struggled with the idea at first, but in the end he found a resolve. And even though God's people were going go through a difficult season, Habakkuk knew that they could retain their joy based on what God has done for them in the past and his promises for the future. Because God has blessed you in the past.
If
he's taken you out of a circumstance in the past, he can do it again and again and again.
Amen.
And I'm going to be reading out of Habakkuk chapter 3. And it says here, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation of obedience. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Right.
So despite your circumstances, God never leaves you or forsakes
you.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen, amen.
And it goes on for answers, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights So God is the source of strength. When you feel like you can't do it, because He's the only one that can do it. You can't do it yourself.
Uh-huh.
He is the one that does it. Just as God talks about joy and saving, God promises amid dark times during Habakkuk's day, Jesus' disciples drew comfort and strength from Jesus' promises as they prepared for His death. A few hours before He was crucified, Jesus sat with them and reassured them that their grief would be short-lived, 3 days to be exact.
Yes.
After that time, something was going to happen to secure their joy in any and all circumstances.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be reading out of John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. So Jesus' love for us is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be reading as well as out of John 16. And it says here, Jesus wants to say, in a little while you will see Me no more. And then after a while you will see Me. At this, some of His disciples said to one another, what does He mean by saying, in a little while you will see Me no more, and then after a little while you will see Me? And because I'm going to My Father, they kept asking, what does He mean by a little while? We don't understand what He's saying. But they didn't realize that He was saying that Jesus will return. And that is our hope. That's where we get our joy from, the hope that Jesus will return again.
Amen.
And it goes on further here. He says, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. And no one will take that away your joy. So no one can take the joy that comes from the Lord,
Amen.
The hope. No one
Amen.
Can take that away from you.
Uh-huh.
No one can take away the relationship you have with God.
Amen.
But joy can go through our difficult circumstances. So joy through the difficult circumstances, does perseverance with us.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you know you can pass the test if you haven't been tested?
Uh-huh.
So it says here, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But this is the thing. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That's
Amen.
The thing. You must
Amen.
Believe and not doubt.
Amen.
Because when you ask for it and you doubt, that's when you don't get it. Because
Amen.
Later on he says, because the one who doubts is like a wave of sea, blown
mm-hmm.
and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not God not giving you it. It's you that's doubting it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And because
Amen.
Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive
uh-huh.
the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. So he's going to know that you can do this. You can endure this. You have perseverance.
Yeah.
And you can pass the test.
Amen.
And it says here, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me.
Mm-hmm.
For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Right.
Don't be deceived, my dear brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Every good, perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. So God does not change. We are the one that changes.
Mm-hmm.
We are the one that goes against Him.
All
right, now, see? It's not too late to repent.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank
Jesus as
Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And one person who's rejoicing to grow despite his circumstances was Apostle Paul, who wrote a joyful treatise of sorts while being under house arrest and chained to a Roman guard. And in a passionate letter to the Church of Philippi, Paul fervently expresses joy in Christ. So here I'm going to read the letters that he sent and how he's encouraging the body, and he's also telling his testimony and how the testimony of the body is encouraging him. So we see here that we learn that Paul, even in his imprisonment, he saw it as a blessing, for it helped bring attention to the gospel message. So I'll be reading Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And here we see, again, this is the letter that Paul is writing because he's on house arrest to the church of Philippi. And then it says, I thank God every time I remember you. For in my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership with the gospel from the first day until now. So here he thanks them. He thanks God first, and then he thanks them. He thanks God because God never leaves him, God never forsakes him. Even the circumstance that he is, looks like to him that it's bad, he knows that it's for the glory of the gospel.
I'll be telling you more about that when I go further on the scripture. And it says that he knows he's not alone because God never forsakes him, but he knows that God has sent these people, the Church of Philippi, as a partner, and they're a partner to spread the gospel, and that brings him great joy. And then in Philippians, going down in the chapter, this is Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 19, it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So here he sees it as a blessing. Why? I'll go further and see. "As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everybody else that I am in chains for Christ." So here we see that what Paul's going through, the Lord, well, first of all, the Lord wants good for us. So the Lord, he knows what we can bear. And when he puts in situations like this, it's for his glory. But we see here that Paul is spreading the message. He's getting the whole palace guard saved, and everybody knows that what he's doing is for Christ. He's in chains for Christ.
Yeah.
And we see sometimes martyrs for Christ. And I hear people's testimonies, how they see that people die for the message, and that gives them curiosity. Like, what is this message that people are even willing to die for? So that is advancing the gospel. We know that we have some trials and tribulations to share with and share the burden with, and we need to do that. We need to become prepped in the word to know that whenever that time comes, whenever that test comes, we will not fail that test.
Amen.
And because of my change, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they're all more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Again, like I said, whenever we do something with a holy boldness, more people will have confidence to proclaim the message of the gospel. And then later on, he says that it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others do it with goodwill. But going further down, it says it's important that in every way, whether from false motive or truth, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. So here he says that Christ is being spread, regardless of the intention, Christ is being spread. And we pray for the brothers and sisters that are doing it for false motives, that the word of God, the word that they're reading, reaches their heart and changes them.
Amen.
And then very on, it says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know through your prayers and God's permission in the spirit of Jesus Christ that what has happened to me were torn out to my for my deliverance." Again, he knows that this situation might look bleak to our human perspective, but that he knows, he has confidence. Like Sister Sarah says, when something happens, we need to have no doubt in our heart.
That's
he has no doubt in his heart that the spirit of Jesus Christ will deliver him from the situation.
Yes.
Amen.
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 And Paul also instructed the Philippian believers how to rise above the sphere spurred by those who opposed him. He invited them to remove grumbling and arguing from their vocabulary as a means to increase the joy. So you can't argue and have joy at the same time. It just doesn't make sense. You can't put that in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ultimate source of joy is knowing Christ better. So Paul encouraged his readers to put the past behind them and stay focused on the future, giving all their troubles to God and celebrating his blessings continually. So I'm going to be reading out of Philippians chapter 2, and it says here, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation." And we are in the warped and crooked generation right now, but it's important to have joy and do not complain and don't argue with other people out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they try to start arguing with you, you don't fold. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly into the word of life. So you will shine among the people in the world. They're going to notice something different. But why is she so happy with them? They're going to be asking that. They're going to be like, what is that she has? And that's going to bring them closer to knowing and wanting a relationship with Christ.
Amen.
So when you don't complain, you stand out. And they're going to be like, why doesn't she complain? And so like, because you know what God has done for you, and you have that joy.
Amen.
And if you make people curious, it draws them in, and you can spread the gospel even more.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it says here, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering unto the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilated of the flesh. For it is that we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. So the reason he has confidence is because of the Lord, not because of his flesh, not because of himself, it's because of the Lord and what he has done for him.
Amen.
And further on, he said, for whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. So it doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing.
Amen.
Forgetting what is behind and shooting towards to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So here we see going on what I said earlier. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus.
Amen.
And we see, like Paul, the Apostle Peter, also taught through his letters to Christians scattered throughout Asia Minor, that believers are in a position to experience joy in spite of and even because of their difficult circumstance. The same is true for the followers of Christ today. So here, we are supposed to, because we are children of God, we're supposed to have that supernatural peace that doesn't matter the circumstance we go through. We still have that peace. And like our key idea says, despite my circumstance, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. So as believers, we are still to keep in the faith and we're still to push on forward because we know that we are keeping our eyes on the prize, which is the coming of Jesus Christ and to be reunited with him and have that eternal life. So I'll be reading the letters that Peter sent to the churches. And I'll be reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And it says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our hope, again, like I said, is through Jesus Christ, that he was resurrected, and that power that resurrected him lives in us now, and that power gives us the supernatural fruit. And we have this inheritance that can never perish, glory or fade. Like Sister Selim said, that the gift we have from Christ is eternal. It can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this, we have this through faith. It says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So this will be revealed in the last time, in the last days. And all of this you greatly rejoice. So for now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So when I read this, I remember of the verse that says 1,000 days is like a day from the Lord and a day is like 1,000 days.
Yeah.
We don't know what the time will be, but we know that it's a little while compared to what we're suffering right now. It says here that this is to test us. Again, how will we know we passed the test if we were not tried? And it says, these have come so that the proven genuine of your faith that is greater than gold, which perishes even through when it's refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ. And even though we don't see him, we love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And we're filled with this inexpressible and glorious joy. And I can't talk for anybody else, but I can talk for myself. Yes, I haven't seen him, but I love him. Yes, I have not seen him, but I believe in him. And why? Why do you ask him? Because with him, I experienced this inexpressible and glorious joy that I haven't expressed anywhere else. Like, I would find it, I would try and find it with friends, with money, with family, with therapy, with going to the gym. I couldn't find it. I would feel this joy, this pleasure for just temporary, but with Christ and knowing Christ, I have comfort in his word. I believed, I received. And going further on, it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, and it says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something is happening to you. So here we see that God's so loving that he's told us about this before, so we can prepare for it. So he says, don't find it strange that these things are happening to us, but rejoice in much as you participate in the suffering of Christ. Again, Christ was sent as an example for us, and he suffered, and we are to see how he went through it when he suffered. He was always communing with the Father. He was always getting strength from the Father.
Amen.
So we should weep, and we should do the will of the Father. And it says further on, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Again, when his glory is revealed, when he comes, we will be filled with overjoyed. We'll be overjoyed because we got our gifts. We're going to be reunited with the Father. And then going on further, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Again, the word has told us that we will go through some things. We will go through some things in this earth realm.
Right.
But that we need to humble ourselves. Like Sister Sarah said, we can't do it ourselves. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and tell him of all our anxieties, all cholesterol, or everything that we threw upon him. So he will lift us up in due time. And it tells us here to be alert and a sober mind. Because it says that the devil is going around like a roaring lion looking for him to devour. And it says resist him.
Yes,
stand
yes.
firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And it says further on, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. So again, in him he will restore us. He makes us strong. He gives us the might, the ability, the desire, and the will to follow him. Amen.
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 And
if
Amen.
We want to experience that true joy, we must anchor our lives
mm-hmm.
to the source of that joy, God himself.
Amen.
And saturating our minds in the key beliefs and practices of the Christian faith can help us draw us closer to God.
Amen.
And the closer that we are to him, the more confidence we have
mm-hmm.
in him.
Amen.
And the more confidence we have approaching each and every day.
Amen. Amen.
And like the Israelites did, we can celebrate even God's smallest blessings in our life, like food on our table, clothes on our back, the littlest things we take for granted, we can praise God for it.
Amen. Amen.
And Christ offers contentment and happiness, not limited by circumstances. Because of God's integrity, faithfulness, and promises, we can surmount any circumstances with both smiles on our faces and true joys in our hearts.
Yes.
As Christians, we share the knowledge of this virtue with God, those God places in our lives, so that they too can experience the deep of God's joy.
Amen.
Amen. And we have three key questions that when we were reading this, we asked ourselves and we're going to ask the audience. And the first question is, how does keeping God's commandment produce joy in our life? And the second one is, how does acknowledging God's involvement in our life invoke joy? And the third one is, how often do you joyfully acknowledge God's goodness in your life?
Amen.
And the third takeaway for Holy Living is, identify one good thing God has given you or done for you in the past week or even today, and take a moment to celebrate it with that with somebody else. And that someone else can be us. So comment down below. Don't be shy. And comment down below what God has done for you.
Amen.
And the second one is examine yourself. What's stopping you from having that true joy? What's stopping you from living the best life in God? And the third one is keep your eyes on the prize and focus on Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, amen. So we want to thank you for joining us today and hearing the word that the Lord gives to us. But before we go, I want to give the floor to Sister Ellen so she can send us in the closing prayer.
Okay. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the people who have gathered here today and that they heard your word, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that the word went through their soul, Lord, and softened their heart so they can keep you, Lord, that they can experience you, Lord. And if they're already filled with the Holy Spirit, that they ask you, Lord, to endow them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, so they can experience true peace and through true joy and true love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we want to thank you, and we want to ask you to sow into this ministry, sow into good ground, be a partner with us. Amen.
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 Amen. You can do that at www.idolec.org. Go to the partner tab or go to MaryWatchesMinistries.org. Now, I want to thank you in advance for your liberality. We thank you for your attendance to the service tonight. We just thank God for what he has done.
Amen.
To us, those that come through by archive, we want you to know that we love you and we love you with the love of God, and God loves you. We also want you to know that we're praying for you, sir, and we also solicit your prayers. Amen. We didn't mean Jesus here. Amen. And so we want to encourage you to come on back here every Wednesday at 7 a.m. for the Word of God.
Amen.
We want to encourage you that that to take this word that God has provided today
Amen.
As your revelation, and then study it out the rest of this week, and then speak to Lord Esther and reveal himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
So God has a special message for each and every one of us,
Amen.
As he does us collectively. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We're going to see you in a moment, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Mwah! Okay. Amen.